Hello, we are reading in the book The Writings of Rabash, Volume 1, page 429. The essay is The Difference Between Mercy and Truth and Mercy That Is Not Truth. You can ask questions at cab.co.il. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. The Writings of Rabash, Volume 1, page 421, The Difference Between Mercy and Truth and Mercy That Is Not Truth. Our sages said, one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even if lo lishma, not for her sake, because from lo lishma one comes to lishma, for her sake. In the work of lo lishma, when a person wants to come from that to the degree of lishma, here in that state, the important thing is that a person needs careful guarding and thorough understanding and special guidance how to come out of the state of lo lishma and achieve lishma. Because here it is very complicated, because a person cannot scrutinize the truth, meaning which is truth and which is false. Because it is human nature to not see any deficiencies in himself, because a person is close to himself. And because of that, he is biased, and bribe blinds the eyes of the wise. Moreover, even if he does see the truth, that he is not walking on the right path, and he needs to change his way, meaning come out of self-love, but the shell, the klipa of Egypt, controls the body, and a person cannot emerge from that control unless by help from above. As our sages said, man's inclination prevails over him each day, and were it not for the Creator's help, he would not have overcome it. And because of it, the work begins primarily in the second state, called lo lishma, not for her sake, for the Creator's, for the sake of the Torah. It therefore follows that the primary work with the body, which resists and does not let him work, is when a person works in concealment and does not expect to receive any reward from people, but works only for the Creator, meaning because the Creator commanded us to keep Torah and mitzvot, and He wants to do His will. And this is His reason for keeping Torah and mitzvot. And the only thing He needs is that he is expecting a reward for it, meaning that he sees that he cannot work not in order to receive reward, unless he promises his body to receive some reward for the labor. And to the extent that the body believes that it will receive reward, to that extent he can keep Torah and mitzvot. But when he doubts the reward, God forbid, he does not have the motivation, the fuel for work. In that state, meaning when a person craves to be a servant of the Creator in order to not receive reward, then the body resists vehemently and does not give him a place to rest when he tells it, I want to keep Torah and mitzvot without any reward. I want to keep the mitzvah, the commandment of faith, meaning believe in the greatness of the Creator, even though the body does not feel the greatness and importance of the Creator. So it is worthwhile to listen to His voice and keep His commandments in every single detail. Because by that I am serving Him. And I imagine to myself that if I could serve the greatest of the generation here, who doesn't let anyone to serve him, but has chosen a small number of people, with me among them, how glad would I be then? So why here, with the work of God, I cannot work without any reward, and I expect to be given some reward for the service? It is because there I see that everyone respects him. and tell me how great he is. And I can perceive his greatness, which they speak of. So I am serving him because of his importance. But with respect to the Creator, we need to believe in his greatness and importance, and especially believe that he is good and does good. And since the body does not want to believe, but to evidently see that this is so, because of it, when a person sometimes overcomes partial faith, meaning giving him in small pieces, it believes. But to have complete faith, it does not have the power to believe, as it is written in the introduction to Talmud Sfirot. So now we can understand the reason why a person cannot advance in the work of bestowal, meaning in a place where he does not see that he will have reward for his work, he runs out of fuel, and the body becomes limp in the work. We have to say that it is only for the lack of faith. And when a person knows it, meaning when a person knows the reason that causes it to grow weak, so he does not have the strength to work, then there is hope that he will be able to correct himself in a way that it becomes healthy and strong and will have the ability to go to work. But when he does not know the real reason that causes him his weakness, he can go and listen to several people which advise him how to be healthy. But none of it will help him, because each one tells him what they understand according to their view about how to heal him. And in the meantime, he takes some medicine from them, and begins to think that they understand something, otherwise he wouldn't have listened to them. Moreover, it is easier to believe them that they know what they are saying, because they themselves think that they are great experts, and the cures that they give do not risk his life of self-love. And because of it, the whole world, when they feel some weakness in the work, they go to them, and they give them cures. And these cures are cures that calm them, meaning one who feels some suffering, some pain in the work of the Creator when he sees that he is far from the truth and he does not want to deceive himself. And for that, he seeks some medicine to cure his weakness in the work. And when he takes the medicines that they give, it is a true medicine for a time, meaning that the suffering that he had move away from him through the are removed from him through the medicine that they through their medicine, meaning he does not suffer anymore because he is not walking on the path of truth, meaning that through the medicine that he received from them, he no longer has a demand for the truth. It turns out that the cures that he received from them are pacifiers, painkillers, in order to not feel the pain.
Question: what is the remedy that those advisors are giving to the person? I guess the remedy starts with caring, relation, concentration of our forces to help.
It's probably about those inner medics that a person listens to, and they tell him, relax, it'll be okay, get some rest, you worked hard. Meaning healers that give him, that calm him down and give some satisfaction to the will to receive.
Yeah, you see, it's still some kind of reward that a person, that it still gives him forces to work in his state.
It's a medicine that gives a person the feeling he's advancing, he's fine, and he sees changes in himself, and he agrees with them, and he doesn't stop demanding the truth.
That medicine is there's a medicine that we're thinking about and the medicine we're getting from outside. So I think here what he's speaking about is like putting a Band-Aid on. It's something's painful, and it's just to calm something that's burning from inside, that's awakening. And I think that that's what he's speaking about here, that it's only to calm that desire to receive, to let it relax.
When a person first comes to the group, he thinks what he thinks about the people in the group. He sees everyone as more than him because he just came in. Everyone is talking about the Creator, the goal.
Rav, how's that medicine called? What is the name? Give me one word. The name of the medicine that they invent for a person instead of Lishma. When he's searching for the meaning of life. Well, one word. I just want to hear one word from everybody. No more. Not with all the... What is, does he mean, Rabash?
Ashleya.
Illusion.
Painkillers.
Reward.
Yeah, reward.
Does anyone have an answer? Yes.
The dat.
Religion.
Right, religion. See, you're improving. There's a reason why you are my chauffeur. Religion. Whatever religion, any religion, a person who is searching and he is calmed with, in order to receive life in this world, and you get the next world for sure, and other things. It's religion, and it calms a person down, and he no longer advances toward Lishma. Read a paragraph or two from what he was talking about before, and then you'll see what it means. He didn't want to say it. He was afraid, but that's what it is. Page 430. Paragraph, because of it. Because of it, the whole world, when they feel some weakness in the work, they go to them and they give them medicines. These medicines are sedating medicines for calming down. Meaning, one who feels some pain in the work of the Creator, when he sees how far he is from the truth, but does not want to deceive himself. And for that, he seeks some cure to heal his weakness in the work. When he takes the medicines that they give, it is a true medicine for the time being. Meaning that the suffering that he had have been removed from him through their medicine. Meaning that he is no longer suffering because he is not walking on the path of truth. Meaning that through the medicine that he received from them, he no longer has a demand for the truth. It turns out that the medicines that he received from them are painkillers, meaning in order to not feel the pain. This is similar to one who has a headache. He takes painkillers The pills do not cure him. It is just to kill the pain, and that's it. The same applies here. All the tips that he receives from the counselors that belong to the general people cannot give advice of doing things in order to bestow. It is only medicines for calming down and not the actual disease, which is the main reason which brings man's weakness.
Meaning it's not against the ego.
But when he has come to know the reason for the illness, meaning that the only reason is that he lacks faith to believe in the greatness and importance of the Creator, and that this is what the Zohar calls the Shekhinah in the dust. And our work is to raise the Shekhinah from the dust. The Shekhinah is divinity.
To come to revelation.
This gives us a different order in the work of God, meaning that a person needs to know that there is an act and an intention in what we were given to keep Torah and Mitzvot in action, in work and speech and in action. But all those, meaning the Torah and the Mitzvot, in all of them there is also the intention, meaning to aim what I want for keeping Torah and Mitzvot, which means what do I need to intend while keeping Torah and Mitzvot. And especially he needs to know for whom I am keeping them. I have to keep them. Meaning that regarding people who belong to the general people, it cannot be said about them that they should intend intentions, because from lo lishma they will come to lishma, and the actions will do for them. And because of it, they cannot be compelled to make intentions. But their keeping of Torah and Mitzvot in action, which relates to Mitzvot that relates to speech or to action, there the importance is not important. The intention is not important. Because even if even when they have no intention, but they aim that now they're doing what the Creator told us to do, that's enough for us in terms of lo lishma. But when a person wants to achieve lishma, meaning that he wants to keep Torah and Mitzvot not in order to receive reward,
he wants to reach dvekut, equivalence of form,
but wants to give contentment to the Creator, in order to come to that, then there's the matter of intention.
Because it's the action, it's actually still receiving. There aren't any vessels except for the intention. The intention is what changes the content of the action.
Meaning, this mitzvah, commandment that I'm keeping, with what intention am I doing it? It is known that it is impossible to work without a reward. Therefore, what can a person be told that it is worthwhile to work not in order to receive reward? He needs the reward. Only one thing can be said to him, which is that he will be rewarded with serving the king, that there is no greater pleasure than serving the king. And according to the importance of the king is his enjoyment. Meaning the measurement of the pleasure from serving the king depends on the importance of the king to the extent that he appreciates him.
Meaning, without reward, you can't work, because the will to receive is our entire nature. In the intention in order to receive, he can do it, because he sees the reward and how to receive it and how to enjoy it. And without reward, the correct reward that's felt in the will to receive, you can't. So this is the question. How can our will to receive enjoy seeing this big Creator? That in front of him there's like this very important person, And what's his reward by serving him? That he can get pleasure from it, and from this he's fulfilling his vessels of receiving. It's like I have a stomach, and I have to fulfill the stomach with food. And instead of that, they say, no, we're going to play some nice music for you. Well, will that help me? So how can we still get along with our vessels of receiving? Come on.
To do everything we can in order to work out the situation through them, and only once we give up on them, then there's room for the greatness of the Creator, greatness of the King.
When a person serves a great person, he feels unique more than anybody because he's very close to that important person. He's fulfilled by the importance.
He needs to see with what he identifies, with what point in himself, meaning he needs to exit himself from this ass, from the donkey, give it some fuel so it feels like it's going to serve some great personality. But he's going to work in the intention, with the environment that raises him above the will to receive. And that's what he identifies with.
He must feel some fulfillment from the work. I don't know how it happens, but it's like a new stomach appears. And he starts seeing in a different place, not in those same deficiencies he had before, but he enjoys bestow. I don't know how to explain it.
We learn and feel that we cannot really do it. It's only through the group that can give us the strength for it and give us this feeling of this great power.
A person feels that there's like this higher state he can receive. Maybe he's suffering, but it's like a patient that's healing. He feels the development, the process.
What the friend said, that the importance that the group can give to one who connects to it saves a lot of failed attempts.
Truthfully, the vessels of receiving can enjoy the greatness of the Creator because it annuls the deficiency to receive. But till the last moment, there have to be efforts in the desire to receive to believe that there's something good. But actually, you have to annul those vessels to feel the greatness of the Creator.
We are continuing in column B, page 431. Since divinity, the Shekhinah, is in the dust, and the Shekhinah is in exile, it is therefore written in the Holy Zohar that a person should aim to raise the Shekhinah from the dust, because dust means lowliness, which a person tramples in with his heels, meaning that in everything that a person does in keeping Torah and mitzvot, he needs to aim that by that he will be rewarded with raising the Shekhinah from the dust, which means that he wants reward for the labor in Torah and mitzvot, that he is rewarded with feeling that he is serving a great king. Meaning, during the labor, he feels that spirituality, meaning when he wants to work in order to bestow, he feels the taste of dust in his work. And this is because there is a great concealment over spirituality, that we do not see or feel the importance of the matter, and from that come to us all the obstacles. But if the Creator removes the concealment from him, and he will feel the importance of the king, This is all the reward that he wishes for himself in life. Since he wants to serve the king, as it is written, that we say in the prayer and came to Zion, blessed is he, our God, who created us for his glory. And a person wants to be able to thank the Creator for having created him for his glory, meaning to serve the Creator, which means that a person agrees wholeheartedly, so that his mouth and heart are equal, so that he's honest when he thanks the Creator for having created man for his glory, and that man was not created for his own benefit, but that all of his will and desire will be only to bestow contentment upon the Creator.
Guys, we're not together. And I'm turning to all the groups. We just saw many groups. We're lacking that point of unity. Please go on.
And this intention, a person needs to aim with every act he does, and through the work that he does, for the Creator to give him the intention that all of his actions will be only in order to bestow, and that he will remove from him the desire for self-love, since he sees that he cannot come out of its control, and he is in exile among the nations of the world which are in his body. It is known what the Holy Zohar says, that every person is a small world. And as it was said, that in the world there are 70 nations and the nation of Israel. Likewise, in each person there are all 70 nations and the discernment of Israel. And Israel in him is in exile, under the control of the 70 nations within him. It is, as our sages said, he who comes to be purified is aided. We should interpret what it means to come. We can say one who comes means the work that he does, the act that he does. He wants to do it lishma, but he can't, because he is in exile under the control of the nations of the world. He is aided from above, meaning that the Creator redeems him from the exile among the nations who controlled him. It therefore follows that when a person does the work and wants the work to be lishma and not because of self-love, meaning to receive some reward for the act, meaning a reward in this world or in the next world, primarily he wants something for the work that he does. But he wants the Creator for the work that he does to give him complete satisfaction, and he will feel that he is now happier, the happiest person in the world, by serving the king, because he serves the king. But if he receives anything else besides the service that he does, this flaws the service for the king. And the evidence is that he wants something else. But what can he demand? Why he does not have the excitement and true feeling when he speaks to the king? For example, he asks of the Creator that he wants, while he blesses the bless of those who enjoy, and he says, blessed are you, O Lord, the Lord, who brings bread out of the earth. Why does he not have the feeling of standing with fear and dread as standing before the king? Rather, when he speaks to the Creator, he does not have any excitement about feeling to whom he's speaking. And this pains him. And since he cannot correct himself, he asks of the Creator to help him, to give him some disclosure, so he feels before whom he is standing, before the King of all kings.
This is really, we have a problem here, because if a person discovers that he doesn't have any grasp in the Creator, and nothing shines on him from above, and it's painful, that he can't come to the quality of bestowal, that he really does want it in a bit, as much as he can from his degree. So he runs away from that pain. He goes to some kind of routine and just continues, I'll study a bit, I'll also disseminate what I need to, and he does things, but he doesn't really keep that demand that he needs to feel that greatness of the Creator. The demand has to come from a deficiency, from pain, and the egoistic desire, it covers that pain right away, doesn't let a person open it up. Like if you have a sore, so a person won't hurt himself on purpose to expose that sore. He's going to cover it with something. And here we have a problem, because we're usually, there's a danger in routine, going back to our regular life, and you continue your whole life, keep studying, even teach in groups and take care, but not to keep demanding the goal. Read that little part again.
Page 432, column B, paragraph, For example, he is asking of the Creator that he wants while blessing for the pleasure, and says, Blessed are you, the Lord, who brings bread out of the earth. Why does not have the fear and dread as standing before the king?
Meaning is lacking the feeling.
Rather, he speaks to the Creator, but has no excitement from feeling to whom he is speaking.
No revelation of the Creator.
And this pains him. And since he cannot correct himself, he is asking of the Creator to help him, to give him some disclosure, so he feels before whom he is standing, before the King of all kings. And why doesn't he feel it?
Well, he doesn't want to feel the Creator anymore in order to get revelation. He understands that without feeling the greatness of the Creator, he won't be able to do any actions of bestowal.
It was said about it in the Holy Zohar. He who comes to be purified is aided. And it asks, with what? And replies, with the holy soul. Meaning he is given from above abundance, called neshama, soul. And this helps him to be able to exit the control of the exile of self-love and enter holiness. Meaning that all of his thoughts will be only to bestow contentment upon the Creator. Because through the soul that he attains, the concealment and restriction, timtzum, are removed, and he feels the greatness of the Creator. And then the body surrenders as a candle before a torch, before the light of the Creator. And then he feels that he has come out from slavery to freedom. Meaning, instead of while he wanted to work only for the Creator, there immediately came the questions of the 70 nations in his body, who asked, can we relinquish the existence of the body and not think at all for it, but give every effort and all of our senses only to how we can find ways to bring contentment to the Creator? And worse yet, are there questions when, by a person not thinking that these thoughts do not belong to the people of Israel, but that they are thoughts of the 70 nations. But a person thinks that they are his own thoughts, meaning that he is asking himself these questions. And how can a person fight himself Bala Sulam said that these thoughts and desires that are alien to the spirit of Judaism do not belong to the discernment of Israel itself, but come from thoughts of the nation, the general nations of the world, that come into the particular nations of the world, individual, which exist in every individual.
Meaning not from Bina, but from Malchut. Not from the point in the heart, but from the desires in the heart.
And when a person believes that it is so, meaning that they are not his own, then with another body, a person can fight, struggle. But when he thinks that these alien thoughts are his own, a person cannot fight himself.
So how can he discern between the two? What separation process can he go through to put one side his thoughts or the thoughts that aren't his, but that come from the nations? That he'll be able to awaken something of his own, for sure, because that's what he has to correct. And not to correct some tendencies or thoughts of the whole world. How can that? Maybe all of our years, all of our life, we feed off the world and all its thoughts and desires, and we take it as our own, and we work with it. And our soul, each and every one's, we don't even feel it. We don't take care of it. We don't correct it. How can we discern between the two? Is it mine or not? Do you have an answer? Maybe. Can I see a hand? No. Do you have a solution, please?
For a person to scrutinize the environment he's in.
So what is the environment? What will that be? Well, let's say that's on the way, okay. Because there isn't really... There's a person, the environment, and the world. How by the environment can a person scrutinize his personal thoughts and not the world's?
He learns to identify ideas and sensations that exist outside of him, and then he thinks he has to separate himself from his personal inclination first and be able to receive it from others, from the society, and then he sees that the society has values that he wants.
Can somebody add to that? Yes, nice. Come on, give him a microphone.
As soon as he hears the other views, he sees if they concern him personally.
No, if he knew that it's different views and not his own, that they're strange thoughts, and they collide with his personal thoughts, that would be easy. The problem is that I can't. I constantly have the world working on me to fulfill my head and heart with what it has. And I can't discover where those thoughts and desires come from. It just shows up. It comes to me and that's it. And it's clothed in me without any... I have no control on it. And then I'm just, if I could recognize it.
So I only cling to the group?
It's obvious that you have to work with the group. How can I, with the group, distinguish between the group being a shield between me inside and the outer world outside? Yes, Yaakov.
when he's at the point of dissemination all the time, meaning that at that point he constantly separates, he is disseminating, meaning he does not sympathize with the outside world, but disseminates to them. So he takes the truth from the group.
Is it not enough to just cling to the group? No world. That's it. I don't accept it. I don't want it. I just want to dwell in the group. That's not enough?
He takes all of his strength that he takes from the group.
Thoughts and desires. He takes them from the group. That's it.
But he can't.
And then he keeps himself from himself, because inside himself there's only evil inclination. And also from the world. Meaning, if a person is about to fulfill himself only from calculations, knowledge, desires, thoughts of the group, and he wants to receive him in everything that is in there, really, that is his shield. Keep going.
Continuing on page 432, column B. With the above said, there is no other advice except to ask of the Creator to help him out of this bitter exile only with his help. As it is written in the Holy Zohar, the help that comes from above is that he is given a soul. And through the soul, which shows the revelation of the greatness of him, only then does the body surrender. By that we can interpret what is written about the Exodus from Egypt. And in all the gods of Egypt, I will do judgment. I, the Lord, I am he, and not a messenger. I am the Lord. I am he, and none other. This comes to say that only the Creator can help exit the enslavement of the exile with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which keeps him from exiting self-love and to do everything only if it brings him the benefit to self-love. And he has no way by which to be able to do something for the Creator. Then comes the help of the Creator. But Baal HaSulam said, when can a person say that he is unable to do anything to benefit the Creator? It is precisely when he, for himself, has done everything he could do. Meaning that, for himself, every advice in the world which he thought could help him, he's already done them. And still, these advice did not help him. Then he can say wholeheartedly that if the Creator does not help me, I'm lost. That with respect to the work of the lower ones and what they should do, I've done everything already, and it didn't help me.
And what about the group? Doesn't write anything about the group. That's where I need to annul myself, connect to them, take their path, the reforming light, my soul is in the group. And me, I'm just a reshimo. Yeah. What's happening here? Why doesn't he write about it? Can somebody add? No. Okay. Keep going. Think about it. Why are there articles that he doesn't even mention it? The matter of the society. Yes.
It is like a person who had a sick person at home. What do? You go to the doctor and say, for the doctor to be a good messenger of the Creator, and the sick person will be healthy. But if, God forbid, the sick person has not healed yet, it is common that we go to a professor And we say he will probably be a good messenger to the Creator and will heal the sick person. But if the professor can't help as well, then you do a conference of professors. Perhaps together through their counseling, they will find some cure for the sick person. If that doesn't help either, then usually we say to the Creator, O Lord, if you do not help me, no one can help us. Since we've been to all the great doctors who are your messengers, and no one can help me. And I have no one to ask but you, that you will help me.
How can a person reach a state that he already knows that the doctors can help him? He was really at all the doctors of the world. How does he reach that decision? Well, keep going.
And then, when he is healed, a person says that only the Creator himself helped him, and not a messenger. This is what is written in the Passover story, that the exodus from Egypt was through the Creator himself and not through a messenger. As it is written, in all the gods of Egypt, I will do judgment. I, the Lord. I, and not the messenger. I, the Lord, and none other. Meaning that when all the counsels and tactics, a person has already done them. They are like the messengers, like those above mentioned doctors who didn't help. And then a person can give a wholehearted prayer because he has nowhere to turn to help because he has already done every tactic he could think of. And then begins the matter of, and the children of Israel sighed because of the work. And they cried out, and their cry went up to the God from the work.
How do you reach such despair? It's a nice despair. It's because through that, the scream to the Creator grows out of that. How do we not calm ourselves, not count on any miracles, not think that also the Creator has patience? I'll just wait till He wants to help me. How do we reach a state that the Israelites sighed from the work? That you actually reach despair, strong despair, that it explodes. Are you hearing what I'm saying, or what? Ear falling asleep with one ear, like a dog. You know when that one ear goes up. Come on, what do we do? That's the third question, right? No. You talk about it later.
We interpreted what is their cries were from the work. From the work means that once they have already done everything they could do in the work that belongs to them, and saw that from here no help will come after all the works. And because of it, their cry was from the bottom of the heart, meaning that they saw that no messenger could help them, but only the Creator himself. As it is written, I am not a messenger. And then they were redeemed and came out of Egypt.
Is the situation clear? The state that he's speaking about, that you go out of Egypt, you uplift above the ego, you get this force from above, and it's only when you see that there was no help at all but the Creator. In order to reach that, you have to think what other steps are lacking in order for us to accumulate that sorrow. We must uplift above it but I can't do it with my own forces, and no help can help me from any other source, not the group, not the teacher, not some success in the world, these or those, only the Creator. Then I can really, from negating all of those messengers, supposedly, I can reach that scrutiny of who is the Creator and how to turn to Him. Yes?
By that we will understand what the Holy Ari said, that the people of Israel, before the exodus from Egypt, were in 49 gates of impurity. And then the King of all kings appeared to them and redeemed them. This brings up the question, why did he wait until that time, that they would be as lowly as possible, in utter lowliness? According to the above, we should understand that before they saw their true state of lowliness, when they reverted and could not advance to the side of holiness, then they understood that no messenger could help them, as with the parable about the doctors. And naturally, then they cried out only to the Creator to help them. This is why it is written, I am not a messenger. And the thing of He Himself redeeming them and bringing them out of exile means that they attained that there is no messenger in the world, but everything is done by the Creator. This is as it is written in the Holy Zohar, he who comes to be purified is aided. And it says, with what is he aided? With a holy soul, meaning he receives the revelation of his godliness called a soul. By that he attains his root. And then a person is annulled as a candle before a torch, once he has attained the soul. And then he feels that he is part of God above.
And that comes to him by when he starts feeling what the quality of bestowal is, according to its intensity, its greatness, to the measure of sanctity in it. What happened, Moshe? Oh, till here? We can continue or we can stop. Okay. So we have a few minutes left. Yeah. What were the questions? Did anybody write them down? Niv, you didn't write the questions down? Eli wrote it? No? Yeah.
Why are there essays where he doesn't mention the issue of the group? And concerning the professors, how does the person know that he's been to all the professors? And how do you come to such a despair where we don't calm ourselves down?
So, let's say the third question. How do we reach such a disparity that it's obvious to us who we're supposed to turn to, that it's the Creator, and the form of our demand, and in what direction, that it's already formulated from our despair. How do we reach that? What do we have to throw away from ourselves? What do we have to accept in order to turn to that we become those with the true need?
When a person comes to a state where he understands that he needs a greater power of scrutiny, he is with people who have the same question. And then out of the common despair, he succeeds in designing what to aim himself to.
Obviously, we're not speaking about the person himself, but we're talking about the 10, at least. That when the 10 reaches that feeling together that they've tried everything, and there's something between us, it's felt. We just put all the other reasons away, and we feel that it's the Creator doing everything, and we're doing everything, and we have to overcome again. And it's felt in the end, with our endless efforts in the 10, that we all must turn to that same cause that is separating us, that He has to glue us together.
You always look to the friends and to the center of the 10 and make every effort toward there, so that eventually the cry will come. It can come only because I cannot connect to the friends.
In order to reach the correct despair, we need to focus our work in the intention. And most of the time, it turns out that we're working on actions and forgetting about the intentions. And we have to hold each other in that work.
We need the avut, the mutual guarantee of the 10, so that a person has the confidence to open his heart. When a person can open his heart, he will be able to feel the pain and in its fullest power, all the suffering and pain to the fullest, will see that he cannot do anything, and from there will the cry come.
I don't know what the answer is. I just know that as much as I'm understanding the path, I think just to reach this inner unity between us and raise the importance of the internality.
When he feels, when he already feels the benefit, the greatness of the friends, the feeling of warmth and togetherness, a person naturally the desire musters more energy toward connection. Then when the connection disappears again,
why is that specifically possible only in the group, even though he doesn't write about it?
A person despairs with his own strength by putting the center of his life in the group. He wants to cling to them, connect to them. From them he receives his views, his powers, and there he sees that he cannot help himself, that there's no one who can help him. But the group decides together that there's only the Creator who can help, the power of bestowal.
Rabash doesn't write about it because that's the basic template we're working in. Only in efforts in the group, efforts in unity, and from the exertion he puts in that, and only in that, he can reach the correct despair.
Moving on to the next lesson.
We'll go to the next lesson.